Question, what's the deadliest animal in the world? Think small, really small, a fraction of an ounce. Well, according to the World Health Organization, it's the mosquito, and it causes millions of deaths a year. In 2015, there were more than 438,000 deaths from malaria, and cases of dengue, Zika, yellow fever are on the rise. All that havoc caused by a single culprit, the female Aedes aegypti mosquito, depositing deadly microbes as she sucks up the blood she needs to reproduce. If only she could be convinced to not bite. Well, maybe she can. A study out of Rockefeller University in New York has shown the trick may be diet pills, appetite suppressants. The study's lead author is Laura Duvall. She's a postdoctoral fellow at Rockefeller. She joins us from NPR's New York studios. Laura, welcome.
Hello.
So you say this all started out as a joke?
Yeah, so this was kind of a strange idea. So as you mentioned, we know that the females bite us, they drink our blood, and they use the protein to develop their eggs. Mm. Now, what people often don't know is that as the female's developing these eggs, she completely loses interest in biting people. And so we wanted to know what's happening in the female mosquito when she's uninterested in biting people. And it turns out that the same thing is happening in the female mosquito. The same kind of pathways are activated that you and I might experience after we have a big meal.
And we don't want to eat. And in fact, drug manufacturers have been trying to figure out how to use this thinking for appetite suppressants for humans because we have these receptors. So what did you end up doing?
So what we did was we got a hold of these experimental drugs. So these are drugs that were designed to target the human versions of the receptors. Mm-hmm. And they're actually initially designed by pharmaceutical companies, basically to be diet drugs. And so we decided, well, mosquitoes also have their own versions of these receptors. And so we fed these human diet drugs to our mosquitoes to see whether or not it would change their behavior. And of course, the big surprise to us was that it did, in fact, change their attraction to humans.
Well, and explain some of the ways you did different experiments. But you were really tricking these mosquitoes into thinking they were engorged with blood, to having the same feeling as the ones that did, that were then going about and making eggs and not thinking about biting someone. So first of all, you're working with mosquitoes, these tiny little creatures that you have in cages. I mean, do you get attached to them?
I would say that everyone in our laboratory has a real love-hate relationships with the mosquitoes. You know, we can appreciate kind of how good they are at finding and biting humans. But, you know, all of the research that we do ultimately has the goal of basically stopping these mosquitoes from spreading disease.
Yeah, horrible diseases. So you have these companion mosquitoes that are living in the lab with you.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things you did that proved to you that the mosquitoes that were not engorged with blood, but that somehow had these appetite suppressants, had that same feeling of not wanting to bite?
Yeah, so what we did was we actually can kind of trick these mosquitoes into taking a fake blood meal. So we can use artificial feeders. So this is essentially kind of saran wrap wrapped around a pool of either sheep's blood, or in some cases we can actually get these females to drink a meal that's just salt water. So this is something that they'll slurp up like it's blood, but because there's no actual protein, you know, just in salt water, the female's never actually going to be able to use this meal to develop eggs. And so normally, she figures out pretty quickly that this was an unsatisfying meal, and so she returns very quickly to trying to bite people. But when we add our drugs into this saltwater meal, now this female acts like she really did get this nice filling meal of sheep's blood. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that really convinced us that we had found a way to fool this mosquito into acting like she'd had this nice juicy meal.
Yeah, there were other experiments as well. But now you come to the question of what do you do with this knowledge? Because I'm imagining, we know there are traps that are set out for different insects, but you don't want there to be, you know, traps set up with appetite suppressants across swamplands that good insects, productive insects, would then also use.
That's absolutely true. And I think it's all about how we would lure the animals into these traps. So if you were to use a trap that mimics a human, so something that has carbon dioxide and human odor, then animals like mosquitoes and ticks are going to be interested in coming into this trap. But animals like butterflies and bees, who don't really care about humans, won't be attracted.
And let's be clear. Those mosquitoes and ticks, They are. It's your breath. It's your smell. They are attracted to humans.
Exactly. And those are exactly the cues that we used in our study to ask whether or not the mosquitoes were still attracted to those to the humans.
Yeah. For instance, your stocking at one point, the stocking that smelled like Laura.
Yes, exactly.
Was put in the
trap. This is a very convenient way for me to test whether or not the mosquitoes are interested in finding humans without actually having to put my arm in the cage.
So what do you do to prevent a bee or a pollinator from going to a trap with the appetite suppressant in it?
So one of the things that we can do is we can make sure that these are drugs that act only on the mosquito's receptors, and in fact that there would be no activity in these other insects like bees and like butterflies. But as I mentioned before, if we were to put these in something, in a trap that's going to attract animals that are out hunting for humans, then that's a way to kind of limit it to those animals that are looking to blood feed.
But there are other questions as well. You really don't know what the effect is of having millions of mosquitoes flying around thinking they're having eggs when they're not. We don't, you know, there's always that unintended consequence. And then there's a cost, right?
So right now what we've done is we've shown that in the laboratory, using our laboratory mosquitoes, we can kind of use this feeding pathway to suppress their attraction to humans. But we haven't, it's not really ready for the field yet. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I think is a really kind of innovation of this strategy is that this is not something that kills the mosquito. This is something that kind of directly targets her appetite, so directly targeting the mosquito's behavior to prevent her from being a good disease vector.
Yeah, but as we said, there are questions, but also accolades. You published your results in the journal Cell. Huge response. One researcher from the University of Kentucky called it a tour de force of technique and ingenuity. Right up there with Mark Clowden is the
yes.
University of Idaho. He's the one who showed that blood-fed mosquitoes don't bite, which, of course, is work that you worked off of.
Exactly.
Trying to make mosquitoes feel that they are sated with blood. I'm thinking that this might not only have the effect of stopping mosquitoes from biting, but also having millions of females think they're making eggs when they're not, which helps in not reproducing
Absolutely.
More mosquitoes.
Yeah. So that's something where a female who's consumed one of these drugs, but a meal with no protein, is a female who won't be able to develop eggs. And
right.
so that's a way to reduce kind of her progeny, so the next generation of mosquitoes.
Kind of sad, you know, a woman who may want to reproduce but can't. But still, it's a mosquito, so
it's hard to feel too sorry
right.
for them.
We're good with that. So what happens next?
So we have been testing this in the Aedes aegypti species of mosquitoes. And so this is a species that's an important vector for things like dengue, for yellow fever, and for Zika. But we think that it's likely that the drugs that we've identified will also be active in other mosquito species. So this includes things like the malaria mosquito, Anopheles gambiae, the West Nile mosquito, the Culex mosquitoes, and maybe even also other blood-feeding animals like ticks. So we're going to be testing it in these other species that also carry these diseases.
And what are the questions, the environmental impact, the long-term unthought-about consequences that you want to think about? What are the questions you need to answer before this can go out into the field?
So I think that we'll always need complementary strategies. Mosquitoes have been quite good at kind of developing resistance to the insecticides and things that we've been using. But one of the things that we'll need to do before this is ready for field deployment is to test it against wild populations of mosquitoes instead of the mosquitoes that we have in our laboratory. Mm-hmm. And we'd also need to develop these compounds to be cheap and long-lasting if we want to put them out in the field.
Well, we wish you the best of luck for many reasons.
Thank you.
Laura Duvall, she came up with this idea. It was a joke. Let's give appetite suppressants to mosquitoes, but it has proven in the lab to stop them from feeding on humans, and hopefully in the field it will stop them from doing the same and transmitting diseases. We'll link you to her study in the journal Cell. Laura, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And a quick note, this week scientists have their eye on another insect and climate change, something we're also keeping an eye on. They say warmer springs and summers are causing an increase in houseflies, which can in turn cause a spread of the Campylobacter bacteria that causes gastrointestinal distress. The research comes out of the University of Waterloo in Ontario, where a computer simulator showed that the number of cases of infection could rise by as much as 28% by 2050 in the province of Ontario, Canada alone. Summer temperatures they are forecast to rise by 4 degrees. So you add that to stories of helpful insects disappearing because of climate change? Not good.